This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look at this. Time's flying. We're into hour number four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan, home of the Cowboys, home of the Texas Rangers. Sans is going to join us in 1 hour. We'll see what he has to say about, is it going to be Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter stepping in there for the two injured starters? A lot of Rangers stuff to talk about in 1 hour. But right now, in addition to football's finest, here's the Chief.
Okay, the Eagles have signed pass rusher Azeez Ojulari. And it's a one-year, $4 million deal, six sacks last year with the Giants staying in the division now. And we know that the Eagles have an affinity for the Georgia Bulldog players, especially defensively. Their front seven in particular, but Azeez Ojulari now. You have Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith, N'Kobe Dean, Keely Ringo, and Louis Cine. Either way, they're loaded up on the Bulldogs. And this dude can get after the passer pretty well. Six sacks last year. I think he's had some injury history. It's where he hasn't really panned out. But just another body in the pass rush rotation for the Eagles. Now, John Machota has revealed the jersey numbers for our newest Cowboys. Move over, Jordan Lewis. There's a new number two in town. His name's Wanye Thomas. I think that's a better look for him than 30.
I don't know. 30 is a good safety number.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he wore it okay, but he's taken over the number two, and I wonder when Ashton Jeanty becomes a Cowboy on draft night, Broadus, what happens with that number two?
I give this kid full credit. You know what he's about to do?
He's going to sell this thing.
Absolutely.
Hedges bet there. Genius.
Absolutely.
He's got a backup number in mind.
This is a brilliant play on his part.
My retirement plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude. Wanye Thomas wearing number two for now.
For now.
Dante Fowler, edge rusher. He's going to be wearing the number three. So we have a single-digit edge rusher for the Cowboys in Dante Fowler.
That's interesting.
But I think he wore like six at, I'm trying to remember.
At Florida?
No, at with the Commanders.
With the Commanders. Was he number six? Yeah, I think
six
he's
nine, six.
I think he was number six. Yeah, six. I think he was six.
Yeah.
Yep. So he's sticking with the single digits, but he's going with number three now. Kair Elam, the corner, going to be number 20. Miles Sanders, the running back, number 27. Javonte Williams, the other running back, will be going with number 33. Jack Sanborn. What do you think about this for a linebacker number? Jack Sanborn going with number 57.
That's what he wore.
That's all right.
And to me, there's a sweet spot there, 50, 54, 55, 56.
Yeah.
Anything else is,
It's a good linebacker.
Second tier.
57 is good.
double nickels is kind of
kind of
where it's at. 54, I always thought was pretty cool too. But he's going with the 57.
Yeah, but 54 is like at one of those special numbers here. Randy, mm-hmm. Randy White.
Oh yeah. You can't be touching that.
Yeah. Well, Bob.
Well, I was about to say, what about Bobby Carpenter?
Bobby Carpenter. Yeah, that's
he just completely
Bob Lilly, the
defecated on that number.
74.
Kenneth Murray, the other linebacker, going to be number 59. And then you got Robert Jones, the guard, 65. Paris Campbell, number 80. He won't even make it past the first round of cuts. Solomon Thomas.
If you have a number in the 80s as a wide receiver, you're not active on game days, to say the least.
Yeah. How many of the best receivers in the league this year?
Oh, this year?
Currently.
In the career.
No.
Jerry Rice
all
were
time,
80.
Yes. But now the evolution of the wide receiver numbers, the best guys go single digits or like a team number, right? That seems like what all the top tier pass catchers are doing.
I think it just took a while. That's why it took so long to convince CD Lamb. Yeah.
CD to go 88 because he wanted to be number two.
Yeah.
He would have looked damn good in number two as well. But yeah, I think you're right, Dawson. I think the stud wide receivers these days are going between like 1 and 19.
Yeah. It's a different era.
Make sure you got that guy in Minnesota in when you went 19, right?
Well, he's 18.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You made sure of that.
Yeah, I had to make sure that Justin Jefferson was in the mix here. Speaking of wide receivers and numbers, you have new teammates in Seattle. It's going to be the local legend Jackson Smith and Jigba, but now they bring back the veteran Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
And so you have number 11 in JSN, and you have number 10 in Cooper Kupp.
Hmm.
What do those two jersey numbers reflect the new nickname of that particular wide receiver duo? And I think this would be Dawson's time to shine.
11, 10, 11, 12.
The 12th man, the 10th man. I don't know. I'm in bad shape over here, Chief.
I was lost too whenever it was brought to my attention. Blackjack.
Oh, Blackjack.
That's the
okay.
What people are calling elite nickname for this new duo.
We are doing some
number 11, number 10.
Sounds a little harsh.
Might work well in Vegas, especially.
Yeah, if it was Vegas, it would be even better.
Yeah,
if
it was the Raiders, yeah.
That's the only way you can get the Blackjack nickname. I mean, the 11 and the 10 speaks for itself. That's doing the heavy Blackjack lifting there. I think it would be a cherry on top if they were in Vegas. But I actually think this is
a
pretty cool.
No-brainer in Vegas.
Now, we had talked about earlier Tet McMillan, the stud wide receiver from Arizona.
Good
big body
time.
Dude. He had a good 40 time, but now you have the conflicting 40 reports.
Here we go.
Favorite pro day
here
tradition.
Here we go.
Because the early returns on the Tet McMillan.
I got him at 4.55. I know this guy next to me got him at 4.48.
See, I wonder how much of this is teams that are hoping he slips. You know, like if you're Dallas and you're doing the stopwatch on that, you want to show teams like, hey, this guy's slow. Because you want him to fall to 12.
Who's reporting this?
So you had Jordan Schultz, okay. NFL insider, the enemy of Ian Rappaport. He's actually, I think, going to join us this Thursday, Jordan Schultz is.
Hmm.
So maybe we can rehash some of that rap sheet stuff. But he was the one that said it was a 4.48, which is a great time for Tet McMillan. People were saying, like, man, if he could just run like a 4.52, something like that, that would pretty much be... That would pass the test for, okay, this dude, we don't really have any questions about it. 4.48 knocks that out the park, and now it's like, okay, this guy's sure fire, but then you get out.
Okay, who had him at 4.55?
Your buddy Albert Breer with the reporting, not with the finger on the stopwatch. Breer reports that McMillan had, obviously his workout today, he ran just one 40-yard dash,
mm-hmm.
and it was hand-timed at, he had a 4.54 from one team, he had a 4.55 from another, and a 4.57 from another. So we have quite the gap between 40 times here.
I just think the idea of hand timing is preposterous
and
ridiculous.
Pretty stupid. Why don't we have laser beams at our multi-million-dollar football facilities? All this NIL money, get you a laser in there.
How about we just set up a digital camera and on the video measure the time from when he starts till the time he finishes? It doesn't, I mean, there's just so many, I don't know why. I think these scouts are just so stubborn. You could show like something again and again on video and sit there with a stopwatch and not get the same time.
Hmm.
You know, so I don't know how this is still a thing, to be honest with you, Brian.
4.55, 4.55, 4.55, gosh. Hmm.
What? Address the take about the spread in the times.
I really don't want to.
Address the damn Delta.
I don't want to. I see what you're trying to do to me. I'm not going to go there.
Okay. All right.
Brought us.
Have it your way.
I will.
Yeah, I like Burger King, and Burger King sucks, and so do you right now.
Thought you wanted to get things right. I thought scouting was all about getting things right.
It's perfect. Scouting is
no,
perfect.
No, it's just about getting your guy. It's just about identifying a player and saying, I will fudge his numbers. I'll make him as strong as Hercules
I'll get the number for you. I'll get the right number for you.
Well, they will post an official pro day 40 time, won't they?
They won't. No.
They won't?
No.
Oh, I thought we were going to get more like concrete.
No.
Maybe they get the mean.
We're going to have to dig for this.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think from
a dig with a G, right?
It did feel like a softer, more CK sound than a full G.
Dig.
One more time?
Dig.
Yeah. No, you said it right. Now, what do you think? How do you think the Cowboys view these receivers, by the way, at 12, Broadus? Because we've kind of got it narrowed down now at this point.
I think they like Golden more than McMillan, myself.
Surprised you wanted to answer that question.
And it's a question I can answer.
What did you just say?
McMillan. I think that
they like Golden more than McMillan?
I think Golden and Abuka. Yeah, probably so.
Over McMillan?
Yeah, I think so.
Is McMillan your number one wideout?
He is.
Does that include Travis Hunter, by the way?
We have him as a corner.
Okay, you have Hunter as a corner.
I do.
So specific to the wide receivers, you have McMillan as your number one guy. Yeah, he would be a no-brainer draft pick for you at 12 for
McMillan,
the Cowboys.
McMillan, Burden, Abuka, Golden.
That's your order?
Yep. And I don't have Golden in the first. So he would be probably my 17th best player on my board.
Why do you think they like Ibuka and Golden over McMillan? Especially as a compliment to CeeDee Lamb, because McMillan feels like the more like stereotypical compliment
the guy that would be the compliment would be Ibuka would be the compliment. Because you can use McMillan like you use CeeDee Lamb. Ibuka is more of an outside player.
Oh, McMillan will get you going in the slot at that size in the slot. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. But just having a bigger body guy, I don't know, feels like something that you would want opposite Lamb. Yeah. But, I mean, I like Ibuka. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Ibuka is a stud.
Golden's a hell of a player, too. Oh, they're all four really good players. I mean, like I said, there might be questions about McMillan's speed. That's what I think they're probably looking at.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what their guys had him timed at today.
Yep.
Now, I wanted to mention this, the Hall of Fame bag getting of one Kirk Cousins. This is crazy because on March 15th, the Falcons made it known that they were going to officially keep Kirk Cousins on their roster because once they got to that particular deadline, it triggered a $10 million roster bonus that's guaranteed for him. So they've basically punted on the idea of just cutting ties, cutting their sunk cost, that is Kirk Cousins. They're actually going to pay him even $10 million more just to have him on the roster, which feels a little foolish.
Yeah, it's weird.
Especially when you have Penix. Like, why do you want to have any sort of, like, controversy if Penix is struggling in some games and all of a sudden, oh, but we still have Kirk Cousins, you know, that whole narrative. But when you look at how much money he's made, goodness gracious, with one playoff win to his name in 13 years, Kirk Cousins has... He had a standard rookie deal, but then he made $20 million fully guaranteed, then $24 million fully guaranteed, then $84 million fully guaranteed, 2 years later, $66 million fully guaranteed, 2 years later, $35 million fully guaranteed, and then he signed the $150 million deal, $100 million fully guaranteed last offseason. This dude has made, I mean, once you get through 2027, when he's fully paid out by the Falcons, it'll be over $400 million, and it'll be $329 million fully guaranteed for his career.
Jeez.
One playoff win in 13 years.
Whew. How many does Dak have?
Dak has...
Two? Beat Detroit.
Detroit
beat
and Tampa. Yeah.
He beat Seattle.
Did we say that?
You said Detroit.
I didn't mean...
You meant Seattle?
Seattle, yeah.
He's only got two playoff wins?
Yeah.
All right. Dawson's scrambling right now to confirm that.
2-5 in the playoffs?
2-5 in the playoffs.
I said, it's Seattle.
He beat it was Seattle,
Russell,
not Detroit.
Yeah, he beat Russell Wilson.
That was Romo when they beat Detroit.
He beat Russell and Tom Brady.
I think the thing with Kirk Cousins is that he's good enough to win a Super Bowl if he was on an amazing team. I feel the same way about him as I do Dak in that regard. I think he's done a nice job, or he and his agent have done a nice job, maybe not resetting the market recently with his contract. So if you're a team that can't have an elite quarterback, you don't have a great draft pick, there's not a Hall of Famer that wants to sign with you, I think I would do it again. You know, if I didn't have a quarterback and Kirk Cousins is available for like 3 years and $120 million with 100 of it guaranteed, I'm doing that.
Just spending millions on mediocrity.
Yeah,
I know. It's your money, dude.
I know.
It's your money.
I know.
Now, a little college for you. I saw that Deion Sanders, he's trying to face, we're at this point now where spring games are falling by the wayside. Coaches and programs don't want to do him anymore
yeah.
for a multitude of reasons.
He's got a new idea, though, doesn't he?
Yes. Yeah. He's trying to face another team for Colorado's yeah. spring game, and it would air on ESPN2. I mean, this would yeah. be a fun little college football teaser in the month of April. He says, I would like to practice against someone for a few days. So you do, it's like mm-hmm. It's like in training camp,
right.
we do the joint practices.
It's like we did against the Rams.
So he's like, do the joint practices for a few days, then you have the spring game. And he says, I think the public will be satisfied with that tremendously. And he's 100% right. I mean, the joint practices, whatever, we wouldn't be privy to those. But then you actually get to see Colorado play a random whatever other football team, college team, for their spring game. We'd all be watching that. And he's going completely against the grain. This is Deion, like, just appreciating having the eyeballs, the headlines, and he knows it's good for his program while other coaches are bowing out of spring games altogether. You actually had Fran Brown, head coach of Syracuse, the guy who famously doesn't shower when they lose. Mm-hmm. He tweeted Deion Sanders and said, we'll come to Boulder for 3 days. Let's go.
I think for coaches, it's amazing to get that. That's better work. That's higher quality work. You're going to improve. From a player perspective, do I want the added injury risk of being in these sort of high collision deals? I probably do. You know, I'm trying to think of the downside to it. Like, why wouldn't you do it again? Would the coaches want all their players on TV, you know, where everybody else can recruit them? I guess if the playing field's even, it's going to be great entertainment for the fans.
Where you could do it is you could have quick whistle, keep the quarterbacks in red, don't hit the quarterbacks kind of a situation.
I'm sure that's what it would be.
And it might be more drills, like the one-on-one drills and that kind of stuff, 9-on-7, more than game situation things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. I mean, they can. I mean, that's the thing.
They can kind of control the practices and stuff.
Right.
I think Deion would like to do this because he wants to recruit your team.
He wants to, hey, Syracuse, come to town so I can scout your guys and then get them in the portal.
Somebody like Texas or Alabama or Georgia or something like that showed up.
Yep.
Deion, go recruit your players.
Oldest trick in the book. Now let's have a joint practice. Yeah, let's get together and scrimmage. You're coming up this weekend after the game. They're talking to all your parents in the parking lot.
Yeah. Well, that happened to us.
No, we're just being friendly.
At Green Hill. We had coaches standing on the field talking to our kids after games. Green Hill. And it's crazy. But had a scout tell me 4-5-5.
Well, that's what they hand timed.
Yeah.
For old Teddy. 4-5-5. I mean, that's still good enough, I would say.
I'm going
to
ask
you
some
want
more.
It. You want it to be faster than that, but
I'm going
to
ask some
none
more.
Of these are so egregious where you're talking about a 4-6 or 4-7-40. You know, you're still talking about being in the window of I'm not docking you because of your speed when you're a 4-5-5 at 6'4", 220.
Yeah.
I think the best thing we could do if you got like 10 of these archaic crusties. You know, if you had 10 of their times, you could average them all and probably have a decent estimation.
Dawson, to your point, they do it at the combine. And I was going through the combine list of the times and stuff. The electronic times are far better than the hand times.
Are they?
Yeah.
What do you mean by better? Faster?
Faster.
Oh, so you usually are getting a faster time on the laser as opposed to the hand time.
Electronic times, but for years, like you said.
Okay.
They've used hand times. As a matter of fact, Henry Shroka, one of the Cowboys pro scouts, is on the 10-yard dash, or he's on the 10, at the 10, the 20, and the 40, and he's timed for years down there. But you can go through the combine times, and the electronic times are generally faster than what the hand times are.
So by a historical context, all the modern players would be a percentage faster.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see how that would be important for consistency matters.